In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. Yesterday, and I'm only going to take 1 minute on this, yesterday we told you that your tax dollars, mine and yours, in Massachusetts, being used to pay for abortions. We need to amend the Massachusetts Constitution. I don't want my tax dollars to pay for abortion. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. To killing our children. Today we're looking at the 16th chapter of Matthew, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, you might ask, what is that all about? It was the place where Pan, P-A-N, was worshipped. And there are all these niches in the rocks. He asked his disciples, "Whom do you men say that the Son of Man is?" They said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" That is one of the most important questions that we need to ask. Like, who do you say that Jesus is? Not what does the church say, but who do you say who Jesus is? Is he a philosopher? Much more than a philosopher. Is he a healer? Much more than a healer. Is he a good man? Much more than a good man. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. Who do you say that I am? You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my life. You are my sweetness. You are my hope. And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Oh, Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father which is in heaven." In other words, Peter had a revelation from the Father. A revelation. What does revelation mean? To take the veil off. Peter had a revelation. Have you had a revelation about Jesus? Like, have you had a revelation about who Jesus is? He's greater than Buddha. As a matter of fact, Buddha said on his deathbed, "I still seek the truth." Jesus said on the night before he died, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And I say unto thee, Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of testimony and the rock of Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What are the gates of hell? Well, at Caesarea Philippi, there was this big hole in the mountain which burned and burned and burned, and it was called the gates of hell. It was called the gates of hell. So Jesus is using this as an analogy. And I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then Jesus charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Messiah. Until when? Until he rose from the dead. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not happen to thee." But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me, for you savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. In other words, Peter's saying, we want to take this show on the road. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered. We're getting very famous in this area. You're not going to die. But you see, Jesus had to die in order to pay for our sins, your sins and my sins. Do you know that the cross is the most beautiful thing in the whole world, the cross and the resurrection? We talk about the cross as being the wisdom of God. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man should come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. How do we deny ourselves? Well, we can deny ourselves with food. We can deny ourselves by going to pray and pray extra. We can deny ourselves in many ways. When's the last time I denied myself? When's the last time you denied yourself? Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This is something, you know. What does it profit somebody if they have all the money in the bank and go to hell? Do you not know that hell is eternal? Do you know where you're going when you die? Oh, someone asked me that question one time. Do you know where you're going when you die? By the grace of God, I'm going to heaven because the blood of Jesus has saved me. By the grace of God, I'm going to heaven. You know, you say, I don't know where I'm going. Well, you know what? Make Jesus your Lord and your Savior, and you'll be going to heaven. If you live for him, not only say, I make you my Lord and my Savior, then you live for Jesus. You live for Jesus. For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and when he shall reward every man according to his works. We are not saved by our works. We will be rewarded for our works. Truly, truly, I say to you, there are some here standing which will not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And we see that happening in the 17th chapter of Matthew. So let's see what we've just seen. They're at Caesarea Philippi, the place where Pan was worshipped, with all these niches and all these gods were in the walls. And then there's the gates of hell there, burning and burning. And in by revelation, Peter says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice the gates of hell. It was right in front of him. This is an analogy to what hell is. So what happened? Peter says, you're not going to die, Jesus. You're not going to. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You think like men think, not the way God thinks. The 17th chapter of Matthew. And after 6 days, it takes 6 days to walk from Caesarea Philippi to Mount Tabor. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine like the sun, and his clothes were as white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah. Why Moses? He represents the law. Why Elijah? He represents the prophets. Talking with Jesus. What do you think they're talking about? It tells us in one of the other Gospels, was talking about his departure, that he would go to Jerusalem. And then answered Peter and said unto him, Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So we know when this took place. This took place during the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. And Peter says, we want to build up three booths, one for you, one for Jesus, and one for Elijah, and one for Moses. And, you know, he's scared out of his wits. He doesn't know how to respond to the glory of God. And while he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud, this is the glory cloud, overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, listen to him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were very afraid. Very afraid. Now I want to tell you that Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah. Moses never, ever went to heaven in his body. So Jesus is talking to somebody who died, but now is glorified. So we talk about the saints, that we have the ability to pray with the saints as they pray for us, because we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. If Jesus could talk with Moses, we can talk to the saints. But our first and foremost prayer is in, with, and through Jesus Christ. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were very afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, do not be afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. Who else do you need to see? Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophets. And only Jesus was seen after they left. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell no vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly did come first and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatever they wanted to do. Likewise shall the Son of Man suffer from them. Then the disciples understood that Jesus was speaking about John the Baptist. Yes, they put his head on a platter. They cut his head off. Very sick, very sick. He is the Elijah that was to come. This is not reincarnation. This is the Elijah that was to come. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. He is vexed. Oftentimes he falls into the fire and then into the water. Now we see Jesus was on the mountain and the glory of God. And when they come down, there's work to do. There's work to do. The man has a son who's a lunatic who throws himself into fire and into water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't cure him. They couldn't fix him. They couldn't deliver him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of the man, and the child was cured from that very hour. Jesus Christ is a healer. Jesus Christ is a deliverer. We heard that the Syrophoenician woman, that Jesus said, I don't toss the bread to the dogs. And she said, I only want the crumbs. And Jesus said, I have not seen such faith in all of Israel. Let me tell you, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. Jesus is King. And he loves you today. He loves you. He takes you by the face with his two hands and says, Look at me. I love you. Look at me. I have plans for you. Look at me. I want you to know my love personally. Yes, personally. The child was cured at that very hour. I remember many years ago when I was at Sacred Heart in North Quincy, there was a little girl who had leukemia. And this was the reading that was read. The child was cured at that very hour. The mother of the little girl took this for herself and said, My child is cured. So she went to the pastor and says, My child is cured. The pastor said, How do you know? It's because you read it today. And the pastor wanted to say something, and I told him, please don't say anything. I won't tell you that child was cured. The mother's faith, the Bible told her, might your child will be cured. And let me tell you, that little girl has children today now, and she's a teacher. Only God knows that her mother's faith brought wholeness to her that day. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast out the devil? Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. Oh my gosh, we have been raised in the school of unbelief, you and I. We are like from Missouri, show me. But you see, faith doesn't say show me. Faith believes and declares healing, and then it comes after we believe and declare. I was told yesterday that a man came to us in fourth stage cancer, and we prayed over him. The doctors gave him weeks or months to live. He's still living. He was completely healed by the power of God. This is God doing these things. This is God doing these. Why does God do these things? Because he loves us. Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for truly I say unto you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Be removed to a yonder place, and it shall be removed. In another place it said, Be removed into the sea. So from Tabor to the Sea of Galilee is a long distance. So if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, Be removed from this place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Howbeit, this kind goes not out by prayer and fasting. In other words, this demonic possession needs prayer and fasting to deliver the guy, and Jesus was prayed up. We see Jesus going in the morning, praying to the Father. We see people coming after him. He can't even pray to the Father without being bothered because everybody wants a touch from Jesus. They need to be healed. Do you need to be healed? You need a touch from Jesus. That's what I need, a touch from Jesus. Lord Jesus, touch your people. Lord Jesus, touch your people. Lord Jesus, touch your people from within. From within, touch your people. Let them know how much you love them. Lord Jesus, touch your people. Let them know how much you love them. Lord Jesus, heal your people. Lord Jesus, heal your people. Let them know how much you love them. You are God indeed. You are Lord indeed. You are King indeed. Lord Jesus, touch your people. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and on the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorry. They didn't want to see Jesus die. Why? He is the shepherd, and he is the Lord, and they need to be with him. But Jesus says, I've got more important work to do that can only be done by the cross. By the cross and resurrection. I have more important work to do besides healing and delivering. By the cross and resurrection, I'm going to take all your sins to myself. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Do you believe it? That on the cross, Jesus drew you to himself. Do you believe it? That on the cross, Jesus drew you to himself. Yes, totally, completely, and entirely. And when they were come to Capernaum, this is where Peter lived, they received tribute money, came to Peter and said, Does your master pay tribute to Caesar? And he said, Yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take money from? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter said, Of strangers. Jesus said unto him, Then are the children free, notwithstanding lest we should not offend them. Go thou into the sea, and cast a hook, and take up the first fish that cometh up, and when it opens its mouth, you shall find a piece of money that will give enough tribute, enough taxes for me and for you. And imagine, Peter went down to the Sea of Galilee and put a hook in and got a fish. And guess what was in the fish's mouth? The money for the taxes that would be paid for Peter and for Jesus. It's amazing. Jesus knew these things. You might say, how did he know these things? He's the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, there are some things I've known that no one told me but God. I was thinking of it this morning. There was a time when Ellie's daughter finally got pregnant, and we went to the house just to pray. We didn't go in, and I saw the whole place decked out in pink. I said, Ellie, it's a girl. And when she had the baby, the doctor said, do you want to know what it is? She said, it's a girl, Father Tom told me. It was a girl. Yes, Ashlyn Rose is her name. And you know, she had another child. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. At that time, this is chapter 18, came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? See why Jesus have to die? They're into vying for the greatest. Who is the greatest? Jesus called a little child unto them and set him in the midst of them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like this little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. A child had no worth in the eyes of Rome at the time, and even in the eyes of the Jews. But the child was trusting, the child was loving, the child was caring. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. Here we go again with abortion. How many times have we not received Jesus because we've aborted our children? How many times? But there's forgiveness for those who have aborted their children. There is forgiveness. Let me tell you, there is forgiveness for those who have aborted their children. How do I know that? That's why he died. That's what the cross is all about. Forgiveness from the cross. Forgiveness from the cross. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seeks after the one that's gone astray? And if it be so, he finds it, and he says with rejoicing, I have found my sheep. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Are you one of the sheep that Jesus went after? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Do you hear the voice of God in your head? I heard it today when I was about to do another scripture, and he said, no, go to the 16th chapter of Matthew. And I just said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to go against your will, because just because I wanted to do something doesn't mean it's of God. But I heard in my heart, no, don't do the 16th chapter of Ezekiel today. You do the 16th chapter of what? Of Matthew today. I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. You know, our bills are about $26,000 a month. And people come and they listen. I have someone who called me yesterday from Rome who listens to me, Helen. And she said, we listen to you, Father Tom, your voice in the wilderness. In Rome, she's with all the prelates, all the bishops, you know. And she says, your voice is like a voice in the wilderness. And, you know, people, I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. If you've never sent me something, would you send something today? Would you send something today? Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your will and your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. My question is, who do you say Jesus is? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he your King? Is he your elder brother? Who do you say Jesus is? Is he just human? No. He is both God and man. Hallelujah. And he ransomed us on the cross by absorbing all the sins of the world. And by taking you and me to the cross, he said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.